the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Delighted to say, semi-regular voice, maybe we check in with him once a year or so, give or take, is Dave Clark, who you'll know from your television screens, darts fans, very well, Sky Sports darts presenter. Just did his 19th, I think, World Championship. Dave Clark, you're there, hello.
I am, good evening.
Was it number 19?
Yeah, 19, yeah, amazing.
It sure is. So you popped up, I mean, these are strange times to say the least at the moment. You popped up a couple of weeks ago in that you're donating your brain to science. We were going to get you on for a chat about that, and then, well, events, dear boy, events, and the world took a turn.
Yeah, it's been a really amazing time, really frightening time for a lot of people. I think particularly people who've got illnesses as well. I've got Parkinson's, and it's time that you're never going to get back again. So I like to get out and about and doing stuff, and it's difficult when time's ticking down and you maybe haven't got that many years ahead of you. So it's weird.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And are you at home, Dave? Where is home?
I'm in London at the moment, so I live southwest London, so I've been here for 20 years or so, just with the family. I'm having a good time, though. We're treasuring every day. I mean, I wrote a piece a little while ago about how to live a happy life with Parkinson's, and I think a lot of the tips that I put in the article are good for people who are isolating right now, living in the now, trying not to look too far into the future. If you do look into the future, always have something in the diary that excites you. Play music around the house. Dance, even if you haven't danced in years. Keep busy, but don't feel guilty about having the old sofa day. And if you can stay sociable with your family, that's good, but it's a difficult time for everybody. Get up, get dressed, shave, make sure you don't turn into a slob when this is going on. Lots of things like that. Don't mourn what you can't do, celebrate what you can. So all these tips I've used for Parkinson's, I think you can use for self-isolation as well, so...
Yeah, I've no doubt. That was, well, you know, when we suggested checking in with you again, one of the reasons I thought was that if you take certain parallels, i.e. The fear that people have about the future, changed circumstances, probably financial worries in some respects as well, and how, you know, life is going to be impacted by their new situation. There were a whole host of parallels with you and your diagnosis back in 2011. So you've kind of read my mind perfectly to go to that kind of checklist almost. And is it like a checklist that you live by?
Yeah, I try not to get down. I try not to think about it too much. Just try and carry on with life as if nothing's wrong. I mean, I was told 2 or 3 years I'd be presenting the darts, and it's 9 years since I got diagnosed with Parkinson's. So I think mental attitude is part of the reason I've been successful and carried on for so many years. Just a positive outlook, keeping fit, keeping hydrated, you know, keeping positive is the main thing when you've got an illness. I think staying positive is a big thing for when you're self-isolating as well. So a lot of tips that I've used over the years you can use for self-isolating.
Yes. And are you in a vulnerable risk category? Excuse me, I presume you are.
I didn't get the note from the NHS saying I was at risk, but I think Parkinson's, because it affects your muscles and can affect breathing, then you don't want to get it if you can. But obviously, I'm trying to avoid it. My wife had it and was laid low for a week, and I sort of had to stay in another part of the house and leave her food outside the door, and she got really bad chest pains for 3 days, and we're worried about her. But she's come out the other side now. She works for the NHS now. She's a psychologist, so she's dealing with a lot of the fallout from this in terms of mental well-being for people. She deals with children. Mm. Obviously, very worrying time for children. So she's been doing that in the last few weeks. So yeah. quite amazing.
And how's your psychology then? Because I don't want to get it particularly, but I wouldn't have the same fear, I suppose, thankfully in my case, but fear for other family members, sure, but that extra layer of fear that you have, that must make it especially terrifying, if we're being frank.
Yeah, I don't think about that. I think okay. I'm quite strong. I'm you know, do loads of exercise, and I think in terms of, I've had it 9 years, but hopefully I've got a few more years left, and I'm not end-stage Parkinson's or anything like that,
yeah.
which would be serious if you got it.
Yeah.
But because I've had it 9 years, I'm quite fit and quite strong. It doesn't worry me about getting it. I think if I get it, I should be all right. You never can tell, but if I got it, I think because I'm so strong and do lots of exercise and stay positive, I think it'd be all right. But you never know, do you?
Mm. It's quite a striking thing you said when you first came on the line, that time is ticking by. You know, this is almost wasted time, and you're acutely conscious that you don't have much time. And I understand that sentiment. The first thing I thought when you said it was, really, all of us should be thinking that way all of the time anyway, healthy or not.
Yeah, I think pack as much as you can into your life, you know. I tend to not waste days now. I used to waste days before and not do things that I should have done. Now I'm writing a book at the moment, so I've been spending a lot of time doing that. I get up in the morning, get up early, get shaved, get ready for the day, as if I'm going to work. You know, get dressed up, get my smart clothes on. Mm. I can take the dog out for a walk. That's my exercise every day that I do out and about. So I've got a park down the end of the road. Do that and ride for a few hours every day, and just try and be as normal as possible in these really difficult times for everybody. And you mentioned financial worries. You know, a lot of people who work in television work on freelance contracts. Sure. So a lot of cameramen I know, directors, that sort of thing, they're not working at the moment and not earning any money. So it's a stressful time in television and radio as well.
Is the book a memoir, Dave?
Say again?
Is the book a memoir, or is it about darts, or is it something?
It's going to be called Stand Up If You Love the Darts, and a bit about all my time behind the scenes, a bit about Sid Waddell, Eric Bristow, worked with very closely, Taylor, all the memories and great. I've got some great stories from years behind the scenes of darts. And, you know, Eric, Sid Waddell was an amazing character. And I was just writing today about Sid, and we were doing the World Pool Championships in 2002. And he went out during the day to kill time. The final was in the evening. And he got caught up in this bar with these gay bikers, a gay biker bar, and they started buying him drinks. And he turned up for the final, absolutely off his face. Couldn't do the final. He was hugging Barry Hearn. It was unbelievable. And I was just talking about the story today. And it was an incredible day. He was really apologetic the next day. The only time he'd ever missed the final in his entire career. But he was commentating on bikers in a bar in Cardiff at the time, and they got him absolutely drunk off his face. So amazing.
So 19 years on, effectively 19 world championships for you. This year threw up amazing stories. Fallon Sherrock made kind of global news, not just sporting news, with her win at the championship. Was it a good championship for you, Dave? Enjoy it?
It was a fantastic championship. Just when you think it can't get any better, things like the Fallon Sherrock story turns up. Winning not one but two matches. Mm. And the viewing figures went through the roof. I mean, the viewing figures for the night she played the second match were as high as we'd ever had for darts. Incredible. And she made the front page of the New York Times, which you never thought darts would get that incredible publicity worldwide. And even now people say, that woman at the darts, brilliant, wasn't she? Fallon Sherrick. Mm. It was an amazing story. And Rod Studd in his commentary shattered the glass ceiling, and just it was a worldwide phenomenon. She was on breakfast telly in America the following day,
yeah.
And she's doing great things for sport. And I think darts, women in darts can make a massive impact in the years to come. There's no reason why a woman can't throw a dart as well as a man. And I think of all the sports, this is one where women could make a massive impact. And Fallon Sherrick shattered the glass ceiling and really put an impressive display. And she's reaping the rewards now, doing exhibitions all over the place.
Yeah.
Or she will do when this crisis comes to an end.
Yeah, I'm sure so, she is.
And amazing.
Are there other female players following closely behind her, or is she a bit of an outlier for the moment, Dave?
Lisa Ashton has actually qualified for the professional tour, which is amazing. She's been on the circuit for a while, but actually came through a field of over 200 players. Qualify for the men's professional tour, or the professional tour, not the men's professional tour, but the professional tour. So she's probably better than Fallon Sherrick. There's one or two others who are coming through as well. But there'll be a women's circuit, I think, in the next few years. And the sooner that comes, the better, really.
With your own schedule, so darts, I presume, like everything, completely shut down on a hiatus. I was reading you're fronted maybe 61 days a year at the moment that you're on tour, you're going around to the various cities.
Yeah, 61 days. We do 17 nights of Premier League, the World Championship, which is 16 days, the match playing Blackpool, which hopefully he'll be on this year, but with Wimbledon being called off today, I'm not hopeful. Mm. I think mass gatherings, and darts without a crowd is not darts, is it?
No.
The crowd are part of the show, the 180 signs, the dancing to the music, the walk-ons. It's very sad when they had one tournament when Snerf acted the darts and they couldn't get a crowd. And it wasn't anything like, you know, you need a crowd for darts. Darts is all about the crowd and the showbiz element of it. And without it, it just doesn't work. So it could be a few months before we see darts on telly again.
Yeah. And how are you finding the workload at this stage and juggling everything? And like, it's a hugely demanding role, even if you're in the full of your health. Are you feeling, because I know you're a perfectionist, I'm sure, as well, and you have been a consummate pro. And you will only want to do an excellent job, I'm sure. So how you found that 19 years after the first one?
it's getting harder. You know, my movement's not as good as it was. So I rely on the drugs. Without the drugs, I find, you know, walking and my speech isn't as good without the drugs. So, you know, the time when I finish doing the darts, it isn't too far away. But I'd like to do another year or so before I eventually retire from it. But I still enjoy it, and I still feel I do a professional job on it. As soon as I feel I'm not doing that, then I'll know the time's right to call it a day. But I mean, every day is a good day, and I just stay positive and try and do my best, the best I can. So who knows what the future holds? I don't look into the future too much because, you know, the future for me is not bright. You know, Parkinson's is incurable, so I'm going to end up in a wheelchair, bottom line, and I won't be able to walk and talk. That's in years to come. Mm. But hopefully we'll sort out a cure in the coming years, and hopefully that won't happen to me, but you never know.
Mm. And again, I mentioned at the outset that you donated your brain to science, or you're going to obviously donate your brain to science. Is it like, and I know your father suffered this affliction as well. Is the treatment increasingly sophisticated and good? Or, like, is there real hope of a breakthrough, or is that feel still somewhat remote?
There's hope. There's always hope. You know, where there's life, there's hope. But the drug I'm on is 53 years old now. It was invented in 1967. So Harold Wilson was Prime Minister. And you know, man hadn't landed on the moon. I'm still on the same drug, which was invented then, one called levodopa. So, you know, that's not good, is it? But there are combination therapies now, and they're trying to repurpose drugs that have been used for other things that may have an impact on Parkinson's. So I'm hopeful that we'll sort something out in years to come. Probably too late for me, but, you know, the next generation of Parkinson's sufferers, there's never been a better time to have Parkinson's. You know, the medication is getting better, but, you know, we've still got a long way to go. And you mentioned I'm donating my brain. Imperial College, I went there a little while ago to see what the work they were doing there. And they're looking for brains of people without Parkinson's as well to dissect and check what's gone wrong with them. So I decided that was the time. And it wouldn't be amazing if my brain was the one that sorted out a cure. You know, they found the missing link that they need to find a cure for Parkinson's. It would be incredible. What a great gift that would be to humankind.
For someone like me who doesn't have to deal with a situation like this at all, day-to-day life, anyone around me, to hear you talk about what lies in the future with such calmness is almost striking. You know, it should be full of fear and full of panic, and, you know, how can you think of anything else? I presume you went through those stages. I presume you must talk to people in a similar boat to you with a similar prognosis to you who do struggle with it. What do you say to them, or how have you found this kind of almost equilibrium?
Well, the first 3 months it was hell, you know, because I'd seen my dad go downhill, and my dad actually took his own life because of Parkinson's. So he got depressed, didn't talk to anybody about it. And I kept it a secret for 2.5 years. And I was doing a world title fight in Glasgow. And I was trying to put my cufflinks on and trying to put my tie on. And I was really struggling. And the more panic you get, the more under pressure you are, the worse the symptoms get. And I was the floor manager was saying, "Dave, come on, hurry up." And I'm hiding in a cupboard trying to sort my tie and stuff. So that's when it was 2.5 years I kept it a secret. And that was when I thought, I've got to go public. And I was a mess for the first 3 months when I was diagnosed, just in pieces, and my symptoms were worse. But actually, you know, there are days now when I think I'm better than I was 3 or 4 years ago, just because I try not to worry about it and try and live in the moment. So when a lot of people contact me and say, how can you be so positive? I think you can't look down the road. It's a sort of Damocles hanging over your head. You know it's going to happen, but you just live in the moment and just enjoy every day, and that's the secret, definitely the secret.
And do you find that easy to do?
I do now, yeah. I must admit, I have days when I'm not so good, when I do think about what's going to happen to me, and you know, I do worry about the family and stuff. But majority of the time, I'm busy. I keep working. I keep you know, doing the things I want to do. I walked coast to coast a few years ago, 200 miles across England, raised 200,000 pounds for Parkinson's UK. I was planning to go to Everest in November to walk to base camp, but that's off at the moment because of obviously what's going on with the virus. But I'm hoping to do that maybe January next year. So just have something in the diet that excites you all the time, and you know, try and stay as positive as possible.
Yeah. So well, I guess that's one of your tips or one of your points that you had. What were they again? Live in the now. Have something in the diary.
Yeah. Just you know, have music on in the house. Don't try not to get down. Stay sociable. If your friends don't ring you, ring them.
Yeah.
So you know, just the worst thing you can do is cut yourself off. Get down and not talk to people. You've got to keep talking. You've got to be open about it. And if you do get diagnosed with Parkinson's, you know, come out about it when you feel right, because people's reaction to you can be as bad as the diagnosis. You know, this sort of look in the eye, the feeling sorry for you, and that's hard to take. So it might take a while before you come out about your diagnosis.
Because
you've got to be ready for it.
Yes, because I suspect for lots of people, when they do come out about it, in a sense, they're taking on a new identity, and they don't want to quite give up who they were beforehand.
No, people see you as disabled, you know, and it's not nice when people sort of see you as something, maybe not inferior is a wrong word, but being labelled as disabled is tough to take. I don't see myself as disabled. You know, people who have Parkinson's do amazing things. You can do something amazing, but other people's grief when you're diagnosed can be as hard as the diagnosis. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think the best thing to do is build a support team around you. So, you know, people you can trust, friends, neighbours, you know, if you go to the gym, the fitness guys down the gym, your chemist, team you, you know. I have a team around me of people who help me. And I'm a very lucky man.
Yeah, an amazing man as well. So, listen, thanks so much for coming on and checking in. So I guess it's buckled down for now. Keep working on the book. Hopefully World Championship number 20 at the end of the year in the darts, live on television on Sky Sports, watched by millions, and then head for Everest the following month.
That's the plan, if it all works out. Yeah, you never know. You never know what's around the corner, but hopefully I'll get that far, and hopefully Everest, and hopefully the World Championship. And thanks for your support. Really appreciate you getting in touch and reaching out to me, because I love coming on, and it's a great show. So thank you.
No, thank you. I suspect too many of us are wasting days. Thanks a million, Dave. Good luck.
Cheers.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.